Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Our text is the Easter Gospel from St. Luke, a portion of which I read for you. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord, and only Savior of the world. Why seek the living among the dead? It's a good question. What were the women doing there early in the morning that first day of the week? What did they expect to find? Well, obviously, they expected to find a tomb with a stone rolled in front of the entrance. And should they be able to get inside, they fully expected to find a corpse. They had come with burial spices and oils to finish preparing Jesus for burial. After all, they knew that corpses do not rise from the dead. What they found, however, was an open, empty tomb and two men with clothes that shined like Jesus at his transfiguration. And while that was certainly unexpected, their news should not have been. He's not here, but is risen. After all, Jesus had said at least three times, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. But they hadn't believed him. Why don't we? Face it, if someone told you that he was preparing to die and on the third day rise again, would you believe him? Put yourself in the disciples' sandals. They had left everything to follow Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John left the family business to go off with this itinerant preacher from Nazareth, who said little more to them than, follow me. Matthew left a lucrative tax collection business to follow Jesus. And things were going along just fine. Miracles, teaching, crowds, popularity. Until Jesus starts talking what to fleshly ears can only be called crazy talk. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. It didn't make sense. It was too hard to hear and even harder to believe. So when the women returned and told the 11 what they'd seen, no one believed them. It seemed like nonsense. And when Peter himself saw the empty tomb and the burial cloth, he wondered what had happened. He didn't believe Jesus had risen because he had forgotten Jesus' words. Yet, Jesus had spoken the truth, whether he was believed or not. He had proven to be a true prophet. What he said would happen did, exactly as he said. So the word from the tomb is this: He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you. The word of Jesus is vindicated. He's proven true. His word is proven reliable. And this is the linchpin of our faith, that he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is so important that Paul discusses it at great length in that magnificent 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which begins this way. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. As Paul continues, he explains why Jesus' resurrection is so important. After all, if Christ is not raised, then Paul's preaching and the preaching you're hearing here today is empty, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. It's a lot of hot air and wasted words. If Christ is not raised, then your faith is empty too. Your believing is for nothing. There's no point. And what's worse, you are still in your sins. If Christ is not raised, then all the dead who've gone before us are lost. And there is no hope of ever seeing them again. So, to paraphrase Paul, if the only reason we have hope in Christ is in this life, that somehow Jesus will help us cope, make us feel good about ourselves, help us be healthy and wealthy, if that's all there is to Jesus, then we are the most pitiful fools that have ever bought into a religious lie and are victims of the biggest hoax the world has ever seen. That's how important the resurrection of Jesus is. For if Christ is not raised, then he cannot be trusted. His word cannot be trusted. His endorsement of the Old Testament and his guarantee of the apostolic word of the New Testament is nothing more than empty talk and wishful thinking. But the message of the angel rings out from the tomb, across the centuries, to your ears here today. He is risen. It's a message that has sustained countless people through the ages. It's a message that has cost many people their lives. For rather than deny it to save themselves, they died for believing and confessing it. In 2007, a group of 15 British sailors were held captive in Iran for 12 days for allegedly invading Iranian waters. They signed statements indicating that they indeed were in Iranian waters. They had signed statements apologizing for past British transgressions against Iran. After their release, they renounced everything they'd signed under pressure. They were willing to lie in order to save their lives. It happens all the time. But it did not happen to those eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive after his death. They could have spared their lives by changing their story. But they didn't. They stuck to their story, as unbelievable as it was. Beloved, you lived in a privileged time. You live in the last days of the old creation, the time of the fulfillment. The work of saving this fallen cosmos is accomplished. The new creation has dawned. The dead are raised. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ has risen. His word is vindicated. The apostolic word is vindicated. The ministry of the word and the church gathered around his word is vindicated. Your faith in Christ is vindicated. You can be as confident of your resurrection as Jesus is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. Our preaching is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. Your sins are forgiven. There is hope in this life. There is hope in your death. There is hope for eternal life with God. There is hope for a new creation. And it all hangs on this one little sentence. He is risen. We've come a long way on our Lenten pilgrimage to arrive at this bright and glorious day. We have heard Christ's words of life to us from the cross, the pardoning word of his forgiveness, the promising word of paradise, the faithful word spoken in abandonment, the compassionate word to his mother, the suffering word of his thirst, the dying word committing his spirit to his Father, the remembering word of the Lord's Supper, the fulfilled word of his mission. It is finished. And today, the vindicated and vindicating word of the resurrection. Rejoice, dear baptized, believing child of God. Rejoice. He is risen. Remember what he told you. Let us pray. For your resurrection, for your appearances to eyewitnesses, for your word, your baptism, your body and blood, your forgiveness, life, and salvation, for the sure hope of eternal life and our resurrection. We give you thanks and praise, most holy Jesus. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen! Amen.